Hebrews 11, we're going to read three verses and then we'll look at verse 6 tonight as the introduction to Hebrews 11. I really want to focus tonight on what is faith. What is faith? Now notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, beginning from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then have a look at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight and we thank you for this portion of scripture. Father, we look into this scripture and we really see the description of faith. And we ask by looking into these things that you would help us to understand what faith is, and that you would help us through your word, give us understanding, Lord God, that our faith may continue to be strengthened, that we may continue to trust you, lean on you, depend upon you, believe in all that you've promised to do. We ask that we would not be wavering, but we would be solid and fixed on you. We would not, Father, come doubting, but rather with that confidence in you, Lord God, that what you say will come to pass. What you do is good and it's forever. It cannot be added to or taken away. May we trust you, Father, with all our hearts. Pray that, Lord, you would continue to direct our steps and thoughts tonight in your word. May you continue to establish us in the faith. Help us to be rooted and grounded for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. The Hebrews 11 chapter has been called the Hall of Fame. Also, others would call it the Heroes of the Faith. And it's commonly called the Faith chapter. We see there are other tremendous accounts given to this chapter 11. This letter wasn't simply written in such a way to discourage believers, but rather encourage them. It was there to portray a description, if you will, a demonstration of how faith looks like. And this letter was written to Jewish believers who were still holding on to some of the old covenant practices. Hebrews 1 through to 10 labors on the fact that Jesus is the supreme to the old covenant. And the old covenant points to Jesus, who is the beginning of the new covenant, noting that Jesus is the better way. And this new covenant is found on the blood of Christ, who is the better sacrifice, and that new covenant could only be entered in by faith in Jesus Christ alone. The Hebrew writer directs the attention of the Jewish believers to the Old Testament saints to demonstrate that the just shall live by faith. Doesn't matter if you're an Old Testament believer or a New Testament believer. As a matter of fact, this statement is found several times throughout the Bible. Throughout the epistles, we see it about three times. We see it in the book of Habakkuk one time. And he says in Hebrews chapter 10, prior to chapter 11, and verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That verse is a great contrast between Hebrews 11 verse 6, isn't it? One that draws back, one that doubts God, comparing to the one that seeks him diligently to please him. God loves those that seek him by faith. Now, having concluded chapter 10 as a theological standpoint, from 1 to 10, don't forget, it's building up this account that Jesus is the better way. Now, having concluded that, he comes to the practical standpoint, pointing to these Old Testament saints, that they lived by the truth, the just shall live by faith. The Hebrew writer proceeds with chapter 11 from a practical viewpoint. So we have the theology from 1 through to 10, and now we have a demonstration, if you will, of those that lived out that way, even if they were Old Testament believers. They were looking to the invisible. The same walk that the New Testament believers have, the Old Testament believers have. We've heard it said before that the Old Testament believers were walking by works, and that's wrong. It was always by faith. Every command that God had given the Israelites were to be followed by faith. It was followed by faith. Every command ought to be taken by faith. Now, studying the lives of the Old Testament saints is one of the ways in which God chooses to teach us. Amen. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And by the way, every time I look at this biblical term of hope, it's a confident expectation. Warren Wiersbe said, scripture records that the great salvation narrative, which employs a cast of thousands of characters who reveal human nature at its best and worst, that shows how God worked in and through these individuals to reveal his mercy and love. And the main message of the Bible is the grace of God as seen in Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus can change people and make them new creatures. And as we look into the lives of our dear brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, the main focus is not only on what God can do in the life of his people centuries ago, but rather what God wants to do in his people today. That's the whole point of the Hebrew writer pointing them back, not to say, oh, look at these wonderful Old Testament saints and praise God that they followed the Lord by faith, but pointing them to say, they live by faith, now you ought to live by faith also. Now, in this subject of Hebrews 11, we'll look at three things, and we're going to look at the description of faith, Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, and then we're going to look at the demanding of faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6. So without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. And then we're going to look at the demonstration of faith. We won't look at this tonight, as this will be the thrust of the course. We're going to look at different individuals that Hebrews 11 talks about in the faith chapter. But we're going to begin, if you will, with the description of faith, starting from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In verse 1, we find more of a description of faith than a definition of faith. When we think about a definition of faith, we can define it as faith is believing God. Faith is trusting God. But when we look at this verse 1, it's more of a descriptive account of what faith is. And faith doesn't just mean to trust and believe, but it describes what faith is in action, how faith works, how faith operates. William MacDonald said, regarding Hebrews 11 and verse 1, he said this, listen carefully. He said, it is a description of what faith does for us. It makes things hoped for as real as if we already had them. And it provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolute, certain, and real. In other words, it brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen. So our faith and hope is built on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the hymn writer, what he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leaning on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, All other ground is sinking sand. Our faith is in Christ and his promises. If we were to put it in Hebrews 1 and with the thought of this, what faith is, knowing that our faith is in Christ, because in reality, every day, if you want to, you know, even humanly speaking, we live by faith. Even outside of the Bible, people live by faith. They get on a plane and they're hoping to get to another destination. What are they putting their faith in? The pilot, in whom they don't know. They're trusting somebody. Everybody is putting their faith in something. Okay? For Christians, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the solid rock. So we can say it like this, if you will. Faith in Christ is the substance, the foundation of things hoped for, these confident expectation. In other words, we can say it like this. We absolutely believe what Christ promised will come to pass. We believe that without a shadow of a doubt. Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 3, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. He promised that, and believers believe that. Okay? As Christians wait for the coming of Jesus Christ, we do not cross our fingers and say, I hope he's, I pray he's coming, and would he come? No, we know he's coming. It's the faith that the Christian has is real. It's a confident expectation. It's not, oh yeah, no, I hope is coming. I hope my faith is real. I really hope you hear it on the streets many times. They say, well, what if you're wrong? I'm not wrong, and I will not be wrong, because I believe the foundation, the substance, my hope rests in the Word of God. That's in it cannot be broken. It's a good, solid foundation. It's not fallible. I can trust it. I can trust the Lord. And this is what he's talking about. The Hebrew writer simply conveying the fact that our faith is simply in the Word of God. In verse 3, he uses the fact that the world was framed by the Word of God. It's a confident expectation that we have. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that, they're waiting and anticipating his coming. The Old Testament saints were looking for that city to come, whose builder was God. Amen. They were looking, they had the same faith. Now, we see in Hebrews 11, chapter 1, also, now faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not blind faith. It's based on evidence. Faith is based on fact. It's based on the Word of God. Without God's Word, there can be no true faith. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not a blind faith. True faith is fully trusting in God's Word. It's obeying the voice of, thus saith the Lord. That's true faith. Warren Wiersbe said, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of my circumstances and consequences. That's true. What we have as Christians is a true faith that rests on the Word of God, and it's not a blind faith. Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. True faith is trusting in God's Word. It's not a blind faith, okay? Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith rests in the very Word of God, that thus saith the Lord. It's a confident expectation that we have. It's a good foundation, where what we see today, people putting faith in things that cannot be proven or cannot be explained and always change. I wonder who has the blind faith. Evolution does. But God's Word never changes. As it was in the beginning, it is still today. It never changes. And so we see in Hebrews 11, verse 2, by it the elders obtain a good report. The elders are the ones that have gone before us. We can say the cloud of witnesses that Hebrews 12 speaks about. Amen. And the ones that have exercised faith. C.H. Spurgeon said, the names of those who lived in the old time are handed down with commendation because of their faith. If they had had no faith, we should have had no report of them. And that's true, amen? Well, the reason why we have report of these people that went before us is because they lived by faith. The Old Testament saints were a perfect demonstration of verse 1 in action. Verse 1 in action. Divine approval were upon their lives, those that lived by faith and obeyed the word of God. In each instant, you will find the same workings of faith. Okay, number one, God speaks to them through the word. Always God speaks through his word. Number two, they were moved and stirred. Number three, they obeyed God's voice. They obeyed. Number four, he testifies about them. The two great examples recorded in the Gospels regarding great faith, do you remember them? The centurion and the Canaanite woman. They made Jesus marvel. So why did they make Jesus marvel? And Jesus turning to the disciples and saying, I have not seen such a great faith, no, not in all Israel. Twice. One with the centurion and one with the Canaanite woman. Both Gentiles, by the way. Because they both believed God's word. Remember the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just say a word. Remember that? Just say a word. The fact that he wasn't worthy and the fact that he knew that if he just said a word, his sick servant will be healed. It blew him away. It actually blew him away. He made Jesus marvel at the faith that he had, that he wasn't worthy, and number two, that he knew that the word of God can heal his servant. Now, the Canaanite woman was another example. She had a sick child. She was begging Jesus to come and heal her child, and it was like he was giving her a deaf ear until she pleaded with him and saying, please help me. And he said, it's not good to give that which is holy to the dogs. And she said, oh, but even the dogs take the crumbs. What? In other words, you know what she was saying? I'll take whatever you give me, Lord. Just whatever you give me. It's like those people that we hear across the country that don't have a Bible, and they'll do anything just for a page. Maybe the Bible is banned, and they'll do anything just for a page, or they'll give anything just to have a Bible, just to have the Word of God. Over here, we're spoiled, aren't we? We've got maybe about 3-4 Bibles on the shelf. Imagine if one of these people across the world got a hold of our Bible. What would they do with it? And Jesus marveled at the fact that she just wanted to take whatever the Lord will give her, just whatever the Lord will offer her. She'll take the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs. Two great examples recorded in the Gospels, the centurion and the Canaanite woman. Faith in God and his word moves a person to do whatever pleases God. And over here we have a record of some people. Abel, have a look at your notes. Look at Abel, Hebrews 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then Enoch, I'm just going to read these verses, I'm not going to elaborate, as you're going to hear sermons on each, on teachings on each one, okay? You're going to hear about their perhaps strength and weaknesses and how they obeyed God and how God used them by faith. Enoch, Hebrews 11 verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And Noah, Hebrews 11 verse 7, notice this repetitive, by faith, through faith, by faith, Noah being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark. Abraham, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Sarah, Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isaac, verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then verse 21, Jacob, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Joseph, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Moses, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. And then speaks about the walls of Jericho with Joshua here. In verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And then Rahab, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It's important to understand that the elders we see before us, this good report that God gives, were not because they did wonderful works, but because they believed in the wonderful God. They believed in God. Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed, this is talking about Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord, and it was counted for him for righteousness. Even James talks about that, doesn't he? Faith in the word of the Lord, or faith in God, moves a person to action. So in Abraham's case, it moved Abraham to offer up Isaac. God said to Abraham, take Isaac and offer him up. And so, but where's the attention drawn to? The fact that Abraham offered him up, or the fact that Abraham believed God? What caused Abraham to offer up Isaac? The fact that God said go, and he believed God would fulfill his promise. He was focusing on God and his word and the fact that he will fulfill his promise. It was never about the work of Abraham. The work of Abraham just proved that Abraham had faith in God. He believed God. Hudson Taylor said, "You do not need a great faith. You need faith in a great God." Amen. And Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Faith believes and understands that God spoke the world into existence. Barnes said, after all the acts of faith which have ever been exercised in this world, perhaps there is none which is really more strong, or which requires higher confidence in God, than the declaration that this vast universe has been brought into existence by a word. That's amazing. I said, that's amazing. When some of the people that love art, they go to the art gallery and they see a painting on the wall. It could be of a sunset or something, which is pretty good these days. These days they've got blobs. They throw a little paint on the canvas and wow! And it's worth about $5,000. But they see a canvas on the wall, maybe of a sunset. Wow! And it's signed up by someone very professional, and they praise the person. And they look outside and they say, that was just an accident. Isn't that sad? Instead of saying, God spoke into that existence. Wow! That's something. Amen? That's something. That God framed the worlds just by his word. Faith believes and understands that God spoke the world into existence. In Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said. That's how God created the world. And by the way, let me just say this. He created them in six literal days. He didn't create them and then all of a sudden they evolved. My Bible says, and God said. Amen. I believe that God is almighty and all-powerful, and he knows every star by name. He knows every hair on our head. There's nothing impossible or nothing too hard for God. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. Six literal days, he created the world. And I believe that because God said. It's very clear. Can't really... But you have to be a Bible-believing Christian. And you can't read in between the lines, okay? Can't be smarter than God. God, by the way, when it comes to the creation record, it's very clear that God wants us to believe his word on this. There's no secrets. There's no secrets when it comes to here. There's no mysteries that are being fulfilled about creation. Very clear. Okay, it's very clear. C.A. Spurgeon said, he said this, the world was not made out of the world. Amen. There was nothing to make it out of. It was created simply by the word of God. And our faith knows that. I question whether we should ever get in the matter of the creation beyond what is revealed to our faith. Reason is all very well, but faith mounts up the shoulders of reason and sees much further than reason with her best telescope will ever be able to see. It is enough for us who have faith that God has told us how he made the world and we believe it. And like we heard, whether a person believes it or not, it doesn't change the word of God. God's word is forever settled in heaven. And we see God who is invisible through creation that is visible. Did you get that? We see God who is invisible through creation that is visible. And I can prove it by this verse. For the invisible things of him from the creations of the world are clearly seen. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Why? So that they are without excuse. When you look at the sun, the moon and the stars and all in between, and you look at humanity and you look at the ocean and how it stops at the command of God right there until God says, okay, go further. And we see how tsunamis work and so forth at the commandment of God. God, even the winds and the storms obey him. It is simply a reality that this is the handiwork of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When you look out there, you say, there's got to be a God. There is a God. There is a God. When you look at creation, the visible things that we see, it testifies of the invisible, the handiwork of God. It's very simple when it comes to faith. God doesn't want to complicate it for us. When you look at a painting, you know that behind the painting, there's a painter. When you look at a building, you know behind that building, there's a builder. And when you look at the creation, whether animal or human, you know behind those creatures, there's a creator. The devil wants to complicate things. But when it comes to this matter, it's very simple. There's no complications. We saw the description, if you will, of faith, but now we're going to see the demanding of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Living by faith is the only way in which a person can actually please God. It's impossible to please God any other way. Faith waits on the Lord, faith hopes in the Lord, and faith seeks to do things God's way. C.H. McIntosh said, "Faith glorifies God exceedingly because it proves that we have more confidence in His eyesight, that is, in His eyesight, than in our own. We believe that God's ways are best. God is absolutely pleased with those that utterly and wholeheartedly believe in Him." You say, why? Because it trusts His integrity. It trusts His integrity, His character, His judgments, His wisdom. Faith gives God His proper place in our lives. Faith says God knows best. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "For he that cometh to God," note the word "must," "believe that he is." Believing that God exists is a good start, but is not enough. It's not enough. Remember what James said, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So believing that there's a God or God exists is not enough. It's perhaps a good start, but it's not enough. Over here it says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." And believing in God and following after him is a must. Someone once said, and I love this, check it out, "The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character. He is who He says He is. And the end point of faith is believing in God's promises. He will do what He says He will do." Exodus 3:14, remember when God spoke to Moses? Moses was struggling. He was struggling. It wasn't the fact that he wanted to disobey God. It was the fact that he was inferior of himself and thinking he couldn't do the job. But then God reassured him time and time again that "You're going to deliver my people out of the hand of the enemy," or the hand of Pharaoh, out of Egypt, "and I'm going to be with you." He had to reassure Moses time and time again that he had to be with him. But notice what he says to Moses. He said to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." If my memory serves me correctly, with every single plague, God wanted them to know that He is God. Every plague, every power of God demonstrated, that they may know I am the Lord. That's faith. Seeking Him, following after Him, believing that He is God Almighty. And we see Jesus come on the scene and almost kind of echo that thought. He said to the Jews, or even to the Pharisees, "For if ye believe if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." He says, "For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." So whoever's going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must believe that He is. And that's faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that" what? "Diligently." That's the key in that verse. That part of the verse. "Seek Him." Amen. So we got must. As well, he that cometh must without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But this part of the verse, this last part of the verse, "He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God richly rewards and blesses those that seek and follow after Him. He blesses them. And Ironside said, "No man in any dispensation or any time honestly sought after God failed to find Him, for He always revealed Himself to faith." Always. Matthew 6:33, you know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a reward there. Diligence is the key. God will not reward those who seek him half-heartedly. God never required half-hearted seekers. It was always a call to seek him with the whole heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I love this. To verse 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with your heart. With all your heart. It's good paying attention. With all your heart. Very important. And ye shall seek me, here's the blessing, and find me. God's not playing hide and seek, amen? He doesn't want to play hide and seek. God wants to be sought. Amen? He wants to be sought. And the majority of the time, the reason why people are away from God is not because he's running away from them, is because man is running away from him. And the first time man ever ran away from God was in the beginning when Adam and Eve hid from the presence of God. And we see in Romans chapter, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, and verse 22, it's talking about Abraham here. Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was what in faith? Strong in faith, giving glory to God and being, what's that word? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And look at the reward in verse 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God rewarded him. And then Hebrews 11, verse 26, talking about Moses, that he was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He knew that the reward that God gives is greater than the reward of Egypt or this world. You say, how? By faith. By faith. I love how the book closes, the Bible, that is, the book. Amen? Revelation 22, verse 12, he says, and behold, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. You said do, isn't it by faith? Yes, it's faith based upon the word of God. God said to Abraham, get thee out. And Abraham obeyed and went out. God said to Noah, build an ark. And Noah, through fear, built an ark. So it's by faith on God's command. Okay, so it's so easy for someone to say, see, it's by works. No, it's not talking by works. Every command God gives should be acted on our behalf by faith. Okay, so blessed, there's the reward. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Remember, that was the tree of life way in the beginning. That the two angels were there protecting the tree of life. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve continued to eat from that tree? They would not die. They would not die. It was the tree of life. Sin brings forth death. The first Adam disobeyed God and brought about a curse on humanity. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, obeyed God fully, submitted himself under the Heavenly Father, pleased him in all things, and made a way for us to enter the Holy of Holies by faith, the better covenant, the better way. Faith versus works. Faith is believing God that he will fulfill his promises. And so the next one, we're going to see the demonstration of faith, and this is going to be over several Sundays. We're going to have a look and from different preachers and teachers on the different ones sharing on faith. So we have the description of faith, the demanding of faith, and we're going to get into the demonstration of faith one by one, looking into the lives of these, you want to call them heroes of the faith? Those that went before us, God gave them, these elders, that God gave a good report. Is it so we can say, wow? No. It's this. What God did in their life by faith or through faith, God wants to do in your life by faith and through faith. Amen? Let's go before the Lord in prayer.